proclaiming truth to restore life and liberty. This is The Future of America with your hosts, Ramon and Nena Arias. They have proclaimed truth for over 30 years in many nations of the world and now endeavor to restore the values of the biblical worldview that made the United States of America the most powerful nation in the world. Ideas have consequences. They are passed on from generation to generation, forming the culture of a society. To eradicate error, the moral and ethical principles of the Bible must be firmly established in the heart and mind of each individual. Discover how to apply biblical principles to transform your world. And now your hosts, Ramon and Nena Arias.
Memorial Day, remembering those who died for liberty. That's our topic for today. I'm Ramon Arias.
And I'm Nena Arias, welcoming you also to this broadcast.
Memorial Day, as you well know, is celebrated the last Monday in May. It is the holiday set aside to pay tribute to those who died serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. Their graves get decorated with flowers, flags, and in many places, tributes are offered in their honor. Rightfully so. But are we understanding all this celebration? And before we get into our topic, let me just remind you or those who are listening for the first time that from time to time, when it's needed in times like this, I do like to mention that in 1969, I walked into the Marine Corps recruiting office and I enlisted to go to Vietnam. I went to the preliminary tests, the physical test, the emotional test, intellectual test, all the tests that are given prior to approval. After I passed the test, then I was told to wait for my instructions to present myself at boot camp, the day, the hour, the month. I received a telegram, and that telegram said very specific that the President of the United States, at that time Richard Nixon, had stopped all recruiting and that they were going to stop sending personnel to the war in Vietnam. That's as far as I went, by enlisting, by passing the test, and that was the end of my desire to go into that war. And that was a time when a lot of young people were burning the draft cards. Others were running up north to Canada to avoid going into the service. Memorial Day brings memories, positive and negatives, bitter and sweet, but it is with us, and we need to understand all that is involved. So the last Monday of the month of May that became Memorial Day was extended into a long holiday weekend. Most of the population complains about what? Not getting enough giveaways from the government. They want more and more and more. Others complain about not having enough rights. Then there's the ever-growing unemployment and taxes only going in one direction, and that direction is up, more taxes. Then you have the tremendous social unrest. People who continue to promote the racist card and so many more social ills that we need to pause and to remember this day and what it means to us today and going forward into the future. On a daily basis, Americans forget the ultimate price that was paid by those in the armed forces. That is, unless they had loved ones who were among those who sacrificed their lives. You see, wars are very expensive, not only in lives, but in money and all kinds of material development. But cities can be rebuilt. Bridges can be rebuilt. Once we lose a life, that life is gone out of this planet. And that's what we need to think every time we celebrate Memorial Day. Consider the millions that died in World War I, and that war was called the War to End War. In other words, the war to end all wars. You know why they call it that? Because it was the most horrifying war in the history of the human race. Up to that point, nothing has ever been seen in warfare as the First World War. It lasted 4 years, 3 months, and 14 days. There's an estimate of people who died, not just the soldiers who were fighting in the battlefield, but casualties, civilians, and all the human violations that caused the death of many people. The statistics go from 15,436,000 to 18,407,000 plus. Those are the statistics. And this is in Europe. And those, of course, they went from the United States. They enter kind of late in the war in 1917. After the First World War, the nations in Europe, with this insistence from the United States, they formed what was known as the League of Nations, precisely because of the horrors of the First World War. And they swore that this will never happen again in the human race. It was too high of a price, too many lives lost, and a totally senseless war. However, then came September 1st, 1939. That was 20 years, 9 months, and 21 days after the end of World War I. And that's when World War II started. And it was called the Big One. The duration of the Second World War was of 6 years and 1 day. And the statistics shows that between 60 and 85 million people lost their lives. It is staggering. And yet, we know that the weapons were more advanced than in the First World War. And that was a great devastation. But who can forget the ongoing war in the Middle East? When George W. Bush was president, he called it the war to prevent war. Then came Obama. He called the Afghanistan war as the right war at the right time. And look where we are today. Wars should be a reminder of the presence of evil in the world. That's what war reminds us. There is evil in the world. They produce human suffering and destruction. They are the result of varied motivations. But you're always going to find out that those who start those wars, they have evil intentions. They're never positive intentions. They start those wars because there is a link with evil actions. And then other nations are dragged into the conflict that they have no other option for the most part but to form alliances to repel the evil of those nations who are so willing to destroy others, their countries, their well-being, only to dominate them. So wars are costly in every direction you may want to consider. So what is the solution to end all wars? Of course, the best solution to all wars is to have no wars at all. But in order for us to say, okay, let's not have any wars, then we have to learn how to deal with evil behavior. Because that's what causes the wars. Can that happen soon? Not really soon, the way we would want it to happen. But if you are a firm believer in what the Bible tells us, there's going to be a time when the nations are going to lay down their weapons and they're going to use all the energy and their abilities and the technology to have a better world. less contamination, less covetousness of other people's wealth, more honesty in how they develop technology for the betterment of humanity. They will not do it for commercial exploitation. So there is ahead of us, according to the scriptures, a time for the human race where these things will cease, because war will be no more. It is written, and I'm inclined to believe what God has revealed to us, but evil has to be understood for what it is.
All nations have tremendous resources that they can use to meet their needs and to trade with the world. So there's nothing wrong with using your resources to trade with the world. But when you want to dominate a country just because you want to take away what rightfully belongs to them, then that's where the conflict comes in. So coveting and just plain power grabs in the world are so wrong, and they start a domino effect. They begin to grow and grow and grow and grow. And many times, the reason why they went to war in the first place seems so insignificant when you compare it to all the lives lost and the destruction that comes as a result of those conflicts. So if we could only just drop the scales from our eyes, get to work, use the resources that we have, and trade with other countries what we need and what they need from us, then the world would be so different. But just leave people alone.
It is not that hard, is it? It is very simple. But again, what is in the heart of humans? That's what is the determining factor of how we're going to behave. Jesus was clear when he stated that it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the person, but what comes out. He said, because in the heart, you find all these wrong motives. Then James comes along and says, okay, how do wars start? And he wrote 2,000 years ago, he says, wars start in the heart of individuals. So it is clear that we have to confront what is in our hearts, whether they are good motives or wrong motives. And this brings us back to what takes place on the last Monday of May every year. There is patriotic flag waving. Parades are carried out, becoming more elaborate each year, and gatherings where many politicians make feeble speeches about the valor of those who are protecting our liberty. It is time for people to understand that there are forces within government working persistently to restrict and remove individual liberties in the name of security.
Some of the things that we are seeing now, we would have never even dreamed of. The fact that people in certain places cannot even fly a flag on a day so important as Memorial Day, that they are ostracized and even fined by their communities because this is not allowed. Whoever heard of not being able to fly a flag to show your patriotism and your appreciation for your country and those who have fought to protect our liberties? We have, all of a sudden, the shoe is turning around on the other foot, and it just seems like we have everything upside down, and it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Well, let us elaborate on what you just mentioned. Everybody knows that we constantly hear they're dying for our liberty. So what you're saying basically is, okay, why our liberties are being eroded or taken away from our daily lives? Why are we being persecuted through all this judicial intervention and this lawlessness that even in Congress are committing against the American people? Why are we being restricted more and more? Why are we becoming a nation of slaves if they are dying for our freedom? It's totally illogical. Americans need to stop and think. What is it that was celebrated today?
I have even heard of incidents like in high schools where the young people cannot even wear a t-shirt with a flag on it anymore because they're afraid to offend those who are of different nationalities. So multiculturalism is taking over, and the young people are being forced to be unpatriotic, and they're being taught that America is not exceptional. They have acquired this attitude against America, and yet they all live here. They all enjoy the benefits that we have here in America, but they fail to understand the price that has been paid and the blood that has been shed for them to have those kinds of liberties. I would have never imagined growing up that I could not wear a t-shirt with an American flag on it and saying, I'm proud to be an American. Whoever heard of that? Yet our young people now, they cannot express their patriotism openly because they are being persecuted in their very schools that are supposed to be teaching them American history and the origin of their country and what they stand for. And this is a lot of the freedoms that are very obviously being assaulted in our face today.
Here's another reason why parents must pay attention what has been taught in public schools, because rewriting the history of this nation is causing all that you just mentioned, Nina. And parents need to really get involved. If they're going to keep their children in the public schools, they need to understand how they've been indoctrinated over a generation now. And of course, the hatred towards this nation is becoming more and more and more evident. So how can we expect those children who are now young people that have been indoctrinated for hours a day of the evils of this nation and the founding fathers and the forefathers? So why should anybody feel proud to be an American? They want us to feel the shame, when in reality, you look throughout history and you're not going to find any nation that was based upon the biblical principles as this nation.
Yet the very founding of America, when the pilgrims came over in 1620, is being taught to our young people that they were the first terrorists because they came to a land to take property that did not belong to them. They completely distort what happened in the founding of this nation, and that the pilgrims actually had a good relationship with the local Indians. And they're expunging that from all of our history. So our young people are learning a completely distorted version of who we are as a nation.
No doubt that we have enemies within our borders. Going back to the armed forces, let us not forget that all of the U.S. military are volunteers, and many were enticed into joining the different branches of the armed forces with the promise of many benefits, including a free college education and job training. They scout, they go after our young people, and they are promising all these benefits. What we are witnessing is truly heart-wrenching, because thousands upon thousands are dead, disabled. They have lost limbs and eyes. They are living with shame, lifelong health problems, trauma, brain injuries, and the ever-increasing suicide that we are witnessing among those who enlisted voluntarily. At the time of this broadcast, the suicide rate among veterans is 22 a day. What a shame. What a shame. They are taking their lives because they see no hope. They are facing no jobs or loss of jobs, divorce, and a large percentage of ingrates in government who only see them as casualties of war that have to live fending for themselves. They are expected to find their own way after having put everything on the line. That is shameful for a nation that spends trillions of dollars in wars, and yet they don't take care of those who they call and entice them to all this free education that they're going to provide for them so they can have skills and make a life for themselves while they're serving voluntarily in the armed forces. But when they are sent to war, this is what happens to them. Should we keep ignoring these realities every Memorial Day? Is it right for our military to participate in multiple deployments into war zones without even knowing why are we really at war? What is behind these never-ending wars? All those questions have answers. Let us not remember Memorial Day only once a year, but every day until wars are ended, we have to keep them in mind. Why are we having wars? Is it necessary? Who benefits from all this? And why can we take care of our own veterans and the families of those who lost a loved one because they paid the ultimate price? And why are they so determined to destroy Christianity in this nation when most of the people that are enlisted are Christians?
There are many things that the average citizen can do to make a difference, not just on Memorial Day. In your local community, there are organizations who are looking after the needs of the veterans. You can donate. You can donate time, effort, work, and even material things, and donate for their well-being, their care for them and their families. So if you will just Google your community of veteran assistance organizations, and you will be able to join with a lot of groups who are doing something for our veterans because we feel the burden that they need to be taken care of properly.
You know, what are we doing in Arab oil lands? Really, what are we doing there when we have so much oil in this nation? So we want to get out of those wars in the Middle East? Let us withdraw from Arab oil lands and return to self-sufficiency in this nation. We're more than capable. We have brilliant minds. If we can just get the government out of our backs and let the people develop their God-given gifts to better humanity. The commander of the armed forces during the Second World War, and then he became our 34th president, said the following: "I hate war as only a soldier who has lived it can, only as one who has seen its brutality, its futility, its stupidity," end of quote. That was General Dwight Eisenhower. He knows what he was talking about. Beware of all politicians that seem to love war despite their campaign rhetoric to stop war if elected. Have you noticed that nothing changes? Wars continue, but only the names change to insurgency, rebellion, uprising, disturbance, or demonstration in other nations that we must go and help and bring democracy. And so goes the war. On and on and on. This idea about the Muslims, that they can change and they can become more democratic, let us be reminded that Muslims will continue to kill Muslims and infidels. They have been at war since the birth of Islam in 1632 AD. Fighting war and violence is in their DNA. As the word Islam means submission or surrender. Since its inception, Islam has been in a never-ending war mode with the world of heretics and unbelievers. Anyone who thinks we can help them get along with the rest of the world are believing in fairy tales and know absolutely nothing about Islamic history. No amount of money, weapons, and American lives will solve their problems. We should be concerned in getting out the Christians who are being killed, raped, enslaved, and suffer all kinds of abuses at the hand of Islam. Pakistan is a Muslim nation that has nuclear weapons. Iran is on its way toward acquiring nuclear weapons. And how long do you think Muslims who believe they should dominate the world, as commanded by the Quran, will begin detonating their nuclear devices? Then what? What awaits America who more and more rejects God and wants to get rid of his moral law? While many uphold their political incorrect view of an American without God and are muzzling the military chaplains by forbidding them to mention Jesus in the military funerals or in religious services for the benefit of America's brave volunteers, shall we not consider if their blood was shed in vain? There is ample freedom for atheists, but shackles for Christianity. It is happening day in and day out. There is always a challenge. And now that Christianity has been banished from the military, atheists are ruling supreme. They don't want God, and they don't want Christians around this nation. That's the truth. The forefathers and their descendants, the founding fathers, were inspired to believe the God of the Bible, and they fought their cause inspired by his promises. They fought not for power or wealth. They fought for their families and liberty, their land, their future, generations, and to further the kingdom of God. Memorial Day is not just to have a long weekend. It is to remind us that people are still paying the ultimate price for freedom. But what is freedom without the liberty to know God, to know his word, and to have the freedom to speak according to what is revealed to us in his word? What can we expect if they begin to muzzle Christians throughout this nation because we cannot speak against immorality any longer the way we should, because that is offensive, or because the law of the land once again has allowed immorality to rule supreme? Then what? Do you really think that a lot of true patriots, Bible-believing people are going to be muzzled? There will be those who are cowards and they will give in. But don't count that everybody is going to submit to this lawlessness of the ungodly and accept it by those who profess to be on God's side, but in reality, they only care about their bellies and their pocketbook. God will see to it that we don't forget that we are in a battle between good and evil. Remember, Memorial Day is about those who die for our liberty. Let us do the same as we are required to lay down our lives. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us in this broadcast. May these truths challenge and change your heart. We hope today's topic has truly enriched your life so we can make America strong again. This program is made possible by the generous financial support of our listeners. All donations are tax deductible. We would love to hear your questions and comments. Please visit our website at www.culturallegacy.org. You may email us at cl@culturallegacy.org or write to The Future of America, P.O. Box 38456, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27438. Call us at 1-877-732-2887. Again, 1-877-732-2887. Remember, you are a person of positive or negative influence. What you do today will impact the future.